truth. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the good special music. I'm going to ask you to turn back in your Bible to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk tonight. We'll continue on our study through the book of Habakkuk. While you're finding your place there, before we have a word of prayer, I want to just say by way of review, if you'll remember, the word in chapter 1 was, somebody raise your hand and tell me what it was. Yeah, okay, or don't raise your hand, just shout it out. hey, either way it works for me, amen. So burden, the burden, this is Habakkuk chapter 1, the burden, all right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight, all right? The burden. I just believe this is where it all began, brethren. A burden. A burden. And then chapter 2, as we will navigate our way through chapter 1, we may get to chapter 2, verse number 1. But what was the word of chapter 2 and verse number 2? Yes.
Vision.
The vision. And so after Habakkuk shared his burden, God said, I want you to write a vision. And so the burden was what Habakkuk said. He showed his burden, and he said it to God. This is what he said. This is my burden, and we'll see that again in just a moment. And then in chapter 2, this is what he saw, the vision, the vision. And then chapter 3, what was it? Yes, Paul. The prayer, chapter 3, a prayer. So here's just a simple little outline of the three chapters of the book of Habakkuk. Now, certainly much deeper as you get into it, and we will do that. It's not our intent to expound every verse of Scripture, but I do want to talk with you about times like these, like what we're living in, like what we're going through. And while the burden was what he said and the vision was what he saw, as we said this morning, it was just not any prayer. It was a prayer of Habakkuk upon Shiganoth. And if you look at chapter number 3, verse 3, you see the word Selah. Verse 9, Selah. Verse 13, Selah. These are rest. These could be used as musical terms. You see this word in the Psalms or the songs often. And then the latter part of verse number 19 says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And so here's a man that went from a burden, and God said, I want you to write this vision, because I have some instruction. I've got some things I'm going to share with you, Habakkuk. I have some things I want to share with you. Because you expressed your burden, I'm going to share some things with you by way of vision, and I want you to write it down. And then it brings Habakkuk to a place to where he is actually singing a prayer. And Habakkuk, I mean, he finishes this thing, if you'll, and we'll get to it eventually. But I like this place in verse number 19. Right before he talks about to the chief singer, he says, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. That's what you're after right there, Christian. Amen. That's what you're after. The high places. Amen. You talk to a lot of folks today and you ask them, how are you doing? Well, okay, under the circumstances, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. Get out from under your circumstances. And get in the high places. God hasn't called us to live under our circumstances. God has called us to walk in the Spirit. To live in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. Doesn't mean we're not going to face trouble. Doesn't mean we're not going to have trials and sorrow. But it does mean that God can put a song in your heart in the night. Amen? And so as we look at this, we see that Habakkuk had a burden. And his burden was a concern. And here was his concern. There's three things that we'll look at in verse number, or chapter number 1 here. And it's really just three simple words. Concern. Habakkuk had a concern. What was the cause? We're going to look at that again. The cause. And then we're going to get into the character of God. One of the things that God reminded Habakkuk about was his character. And sometimes when we go through the things that we're going through as a nation or individually, we'll get so caught up, we'll get so engrossed with the problem that we forget the character of God. God is in control. God is in control. It's easy to say that, but as I said this morning, we need to be living that. You see, the way I live really states if I believe God is in control or not. And so we want to get a little deeper into chapter 1, and we may get into chapter 2 a little bit and talk about what can you do? What can I do? So, well, I have a burden. That's great. That's a great place to start. But that's not where you finish. There's more to do than just feel a burden about the state of things as they are. Somehow that burden has to translate into action. We've got to get that burden out of our heart and put it into action in our lives to where we're making a difference. We're doing something. We're impacting people. We're getting involved. I asked you last week, and I'll say this before we pray. I asked you last week to share your testimony with someone. Share your testimony with someone. I hope that you did. See, people need to hear your testimony. So, well, you know, people don't want to hear my testimony. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Not only do people want to hear your testimony, people need to hear your testimony. What can Jesus do in a life? What can Jesus do in a life? And ultimately, the question is, what can Jesus do in my life? Can Jesus make a difference in my life? Because the devil has lied to people so long to where there are people that have given up on life. There are people who believe that there's no hope for my life. I'm here to tell you there's always hope. Amen. There's always hope. And so I hope you shared your testimony. I want to challenge you again. How many of you shared your testimony with someone in the last 10 to 14 days? Raise it high. Amen. That's good. That's good. Sharing your testimony. Can I encourage you to do it again if you did it? And if you didn't, can I encourage you this week? Do it. You say, well, how do I do it? It's simple. It really is. Listen, God will bring people to you, won't he? So we're out eating with this couple, and God just sent a waitress to our table. And, I mean, she all but asked me for my testimony. I mean, you know, now she didn't come right out and say, hey, I'd like to hear your testimony. But, I mean, she just kept hanging around because I kept mentioning things about how good it was and to be a Christian and the peace that God gives in your heart. And I just kept giving her a little information, and I just kept drawing the net, bringing her in. And until where, I mean, and listen, she didn't want to leave our table. You know, it was just amazing. But see, God does that. I didn't do that. God does that. When you begin to whet people's appetite, their spiritual appetite, with the Word of God, listen, they'll want to hear more. Until I got to the place where I said, I'd like to share just a brief testimony. And I got to give her a brief testimony of what God did in my life. And I could just tell it made a profound impact. She took the gospel tract and she said, we're going to come. And she began to open up and just tell us things about her husband that was from Turkey and how that he was from an Islamic background, but he really wasn't a practicing Islamic. And it was just something. She said, we want to come. And if she's watching tonight, I hope you will come, Megan. I hope you will come. And I told her, I will pray for you. Good young lady who just needs to be saved in the grace of God. She promised, I'll read this gospel tract, and I hope she did, and I hope she got saved. And I said, if you know, it's the greatest thing that can happen in your life. So, well, people don't want to hear my testimony. You'd be amazed. And whether they want to hear it or not, they need to hear it. People need to hear what Jesus has done in your life. Amen? Has Jesus done something in your life? Oh, come on, folks. Has Jesus done something in your life? Then tell somebody about it. Amen. Tell somebody. Remember when you first got saved? Amen. Oh, my. Remember? We were singing that song when we started the service about rekindling that fire. Can I tell you, when God saved me, there were people running from me. They'd see me pull up on the property and said, oh, no. Amen. My family, my own mother wouldn't come to the door. Back then, we had shades. I'm dating myself, right? You remember the shades? Not blinds, the shades. I remember pulling up one day after work and opening the gate and going, and I seen the shade pull. I said, uh-oh. Knocked on the door, nobody came to the door. So I just went up the road. Back then, no cell phones, pay phones. Told you I was dating myself. Shades and pay phones. And I called and she answered the phone. And then when she heard my voice, she said, oh, I could just feel it. But that's okay. I understand now. I do. And she just told me, she said, Dale, you preach every time you come. I didn't even know I was called to preach. Man. I was just excited about what Jesus had done in my life. I just wanted to just keep telling it and telling it and telling it. Right? Kind of like old Paul. We heard about it last week. Hey, can I tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus? Amen. They beat the man and drag him outside the city. And he would get up and dust himself off and say, hey, can I say a word? I want to say something. I was on the road to Damascus. Amen. Hey, we need some Christians that will get fired up about telling what Jesus has done in their life. Amen. It'll make a difference. Amen. It'll make a difference. You say, well, some people, they'll get away from it. It'll repel some, but it'll compel others. Amen. It will. Habakkuk had a burden. We need to get a burden again. Father, I pray that you'd help me in these few moments now to share what you've laid on my heart. Open our hearts to your word. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would give the anointing that's needed to preach your word and the anointing that's needed, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I pray you'd fill these people with the Spirit of God, that they would be Spirit-filled listeners, that they might hear what the Spirit saith unto the church tonight. Magnify the name of Jesus, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. How long, verse number 2, he said, and we talked about this. Lord, I've been praying. It seems like you're indifferent. It seems like you're inactive. How long, Lord? And then he said, there's violence. Verse number 3, there's iniquity. There's grievance. There's spoiling. There's strife. There's contention. And we ended in verse number 4, essentially, there's injustice. These things are going on all around me. There's just so much wickedness. And God, I'm asking you to get involved and do something. Right? This is different. You read the prophets, and we talked about it this morning. You read the prophets, and it's usually prophesying to Israel, prophesying to the remnant or to the nation of Israel, and saying what God is going to do or instruction that God had for them. This is different. This is a man that's looking around, and he's got a burden. He has a burden for Judah, for the people of God, and he's saying, God, I'm asking you to do something. God said, I am going to do something. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. In verse number 5, look at it. He said, but though I tell you, you're not going to believe it. He said in verse number 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Right? He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. But when I do, you're not going to believe it. Now, why was not Habakkuk going to believe it? Chapter 3, verse 2. Habakkuk wanted revival. He was saying, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Habakkuk was wanting God to do something, but he wanted God to do what he wanted to do instead of for God to do what God wanted to do. See, God always knows what's best. Now, you may think you know best, and I may think I know what's best. But if what I think is best and what God thinks is best doesn't line up, God is right. Amen. God is always right. Amen. And so here, Habakkuk, like many of us, had prescribed what he wanted God to do. He already had it fixed in his mind. Now, you've done that. I've done that, right? We do it. We have kind of fixed in our minds what we're looking for and what we want God to do. And God said, I'm going to do something. Habakkuk, I am at work. Though you might not think I'm at work, I am at work. And I'm raising up some people right now is going to take care of some things. He said, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. In verse number 6, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans." Now God said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that." Not the devil, not man, not themselves. God said, "I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans." And he began to lay out what he was going to do. He said, "I want to tell you something about these people." Look, if you in verse number 7. He said, "Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves." In other words, they really have no law. They make their own law. They do what they want to do, right? Kind of like a generation of people that's coming up in America. We're going to do what we want to do. We don't want any guidelines. We don't want any parameters. We don't want any laws. Defund the police. We don't care. We want to do things our way. Well, you might think you want that until it happens. He said, this is the way these people live. Look in verse number 9. He said, "They shall come all for violence." Verse number 10, he said, "And they shall scoff at the kings and the princes, and shall be a scorn unto them." In other words, leadership, authority means nothing. Hey, can I tell you I'm concerned about our young generation? I'm concerned. No manners. Now listen, I'm not saying every young person. I thank God. I know some good, solid young folks. There's many in this church tonight. I thank God for you. But now we've got to get concerned about a generation of people who don't even have common courtesy. Don't even have common courtesy. Please, yes ma'am, no ma'am, thank you, may I. That's simple stuff, right? I mean, they'll knock an elderly person down to get in front of them in a line or out a door. Hey, train your children up. I'm concerned about that generation. But it goes much further than that. They don't anybody telling them what to do. No law, no guidelines, no authority. We make our own laws. We do our own thing. Nobody's going to tell me, is their cry, what to do. Well, somebody's going to tell you what to do eventually. We all come under authority. That ought to concern us. God said, "I'm going to raise up a people that's going to come and listen." These people had been raised, trained up their children. They had been given laws. The children of Israel, Judah, they knew the word of God. They had guidelines. They had restrictions. They had commandments. And he said, "These people are rogue, and I'm going to bring them in." The latter part of verse number 10 says, "They shall deride every stronghold." Lawless. Rebellious. And he said, "I'm raising them up to come after you." Now, I'm sure that's not what Habakkuk wanted to hear. What's going on today, brethren, in our world? You think Judah had lost some significance? Habakkuk said, "God, our people are living like lost people, not a covenant people." It's hard to tell the difference between an Israelite and a Chaldean. "God, what's going on? I want you to get involved." And he said, "Oh, I'm going to. I'm already at work on it, Habakkuk." What do you want to see happen in the church? I don't mean just the local church, Fellowship Baptist. I mean in the body of Christ. I tell you, we sure do need God to do something strong. Not just in the Western church, the churches around the world. We need God to move, brethren. We need God to do something. This is not something, as I said, you can't work this up. You can't throw money at a problem and expect it to get fixed. That's not the answer. I've noticed this past week, so many people saying, "Well, we're just going to donate X amount of dollars." Listen, money helps. We support missionaries. And there's a missionary with us tonight. He'll tell you, money helps. Amen. But that's not all there is. You can't throw money at problems and expect problems to be solved simply because you throw money at it. There has to be a plan. There's got to be a dedication. But more importantly, you've got to get a higher power involved. This thing we're going through, brethren, as a country and our world, around the world, is devastating. I told you this morning that I began to pray, and I believe many of you did. God help us. After this COVID-19, I mean, listen, it set us back a little bit. I mean, we didn't know what was going on, right? We didn't know. We met as a group of leaders, and we were trying to get God's mind on the matter. God, navigate us through this. We don't know. We've never been in this position before. Navigate us through it. We want to do the right thing. We're concerned about the health and the safety of our people, the flock of Fellowship Baptist Church. There's lives at stake here. We want to take this thing seriously. God, give us direction. And I believe with all of my heart, God gave us direction. And He helped us through that time. And it was our prayer during that time, God, use this. Use this for Your glory. Bring people to Yourself. And here we are. Right? It's not quite the way I thought it was going to be. Now our cities are being razed, burnt, looted, plundered. There's more corrupt cops. It's a reality. See, I don't like to hear that. It's so. It's so. I told you this morning, I'm not signing up to be a member of Black Lives Matter. I'm not doing that. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't either. Go to the website and you'll know why. I'm not going to yoke up with the Ku Klux Klan or the skinheads or some gang or group. Right? Antifa? Hey, they're a terrorist organization. Amen. That's not what we as Christians do. God said, I'm going to tell you what to do. This is what you do. When you find yourself in this place, and brethren, I believe we're about as close to this place right here as old Habakkuk was. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And Habakkuk, in verse number 12, spoke up and said, and I'm paraphrasing, God, that's not what I expected to hear from You. Right? I mean, you go back into chapter 1 and verse number 2, and it says, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry? And Thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto Thee of violence, and Thou wilt not say, God, do something. And God said, oh, I'm going to. This is what I'm going to do. And then you look at verse number 12. Remember some of the words we were talking about this morning? Indifference. Right? Inactive. God, You're indifferent. I'm crying. I'm praying. There's all kinds of evil around me, and it seems like You don't care. God, I'm coming to You like You say. You tell us to come unto You, and yet You seem like that You're not doing anything. Look what in verse number 3, You're showing me iniquity and causing me to behold grievance. It's like You don't care, and You're not going to do anything about it. And as if that's not enough, He said, it seems like You're insensitive. And then finally He said, You're not inconsistent, are You, God? You're not going to let those people, those wicked people, come and do that to us, are You? Now here's the turning point. All right, don't miss this. This is where we all have to start. What do you know about God? See, we're living in a time when people know very little about God. They know the name. Okay, you know, you mentioned God. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, God. Yeah, God. You know, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Christmas, Virgin Mary giving birth, something like that. Right? His Son died on the cross. Our knowledge of God is shallow. But this Old Testament prophet had a knowledge of God that took him to a good place. I want to encourage you now. Get in the book. Get in the book. I talked with a man last night, Brother Brian. We all know Brother Brian's story. Been gone for over 5 months, finished his course, got off track, and I was telling Brother Greg, I'm so thankful. Listen, it's not a matter if you're going to get knocked down or if you're going to fall down. That's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do when that happens? Now, you listen to your preacher tonight. The question is not, am I going to get off course or get knocked down or fall down? That's not the question. It's going to happen in some form or fashion. The question is, then what?
You going to stay down? You going to let the devil win? You going to give up? No. You get up, you dust off, you repent of your sin, you ask God for forgiveness, and move on for the glory of God. Thank God for a man that'll do that. A man told me last night, he wasn't saying it bragging, he was just telling me, he said, Pastor, I'm so full. He said, God knows my heart. He said, I've been here over 5 months. He said, Pastor, can I tell you? He said, I have been in the Word of God every day. He said, I've never done that in my Christian life, Pastor. Brother Brian said, I've never done that. Been saved for years. And I've never gone a five-month period and read the Word of God every day. He said, I'm so full. I'm so happy. He said, I just can't wait to get back and serve God with my life. That's what reading the Word of God, walking in the Spirit, will do. A lot of folks walk around in a daze, not knowing what's going on, and they can't do what Habakkuk done. Look at chapter number 1, verse number 12. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord my God. What a statement. What are you saying, Habakkuk? God, you are eternal. You're from everlasting. There is nothing that you cannot do. See, a knowledge of God will get you to that place. A knowledge of God, though all of these things are going on around us, will not cause us to tuck and duck and hide away. It'll cause us to stand boldly and say, my God is God. Amen. Habakkuk had a knowledge. He started with the character of God. This is where we have to start. He talked about his concern, right? He even talked about the cause. His concern was, I'm praying and it seems like nothing's happening, right? The cause of me praying is all of these things that you're showing me. Iniquity and grievance and spoiling and violence in verse number 3. Strife, contention. He said, but I feel like the cause of all that is just crooked leadership. Crooked politicians, people being paid off, bribes. What's going on? We need God to move. What can we do? We start with the character of God. Look at verse number 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine holy one? God is holy, brethren. And God expects holiness of his people. Got real quiet. See, God wants us to live pure, clean, holy lives. Amen. Well, now, preacher, I feel like that if I'm saved, I ought to be able to do just what I want to do. Oh, no. God didn't save you to do what you wanted to do. God saved you to do what he wanted you to do. Amen. God didn't save me to do what I wanted to do and as I choose to do. God saved me to do what his will is, to do what he wanted me to do. Habakkuk started with the character of God. That's a great place to start. All right? And this is what he said. He said, because I know the character of God, I don't want you to miss this now. He said, I know God is from everlasting. I know God is my God, and I know that my God is holy. That's a great place to start. I know that God's not going to do wrong. Look at this next statement here in verse number 12. We shall not die. God's not going to leave us to ourselves. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Now, God's going to allow some things, but he's not going to leave us to ourselves. Aren't you glad for that? Thank God for that. God may punish us, but he's going to preserve us. We are preserved. Amen. Can I tell you, the church is not going to go away? It's not. Until God gets ready to call us home in the rapture, brethren, God will always have a voice. He will always have a remnant. Say amen with me. Amen. I'm afraid, preacher, we're going to run into a day. We just heard about them closing up several churches over in Africa. And there's churches closing every day here in America. There's churches closing around the world. And that's a reality. That's a reality. But I want to tell you something. There'll always be a voice for God. Even when God calls the church out, God will specially anoint men to preach the gospel of the everlasting kingdom in the tribulation period. God will always have a voice. He said, we shall not die. I'm so thankful to God for that God's not going to leave us to ourselves. with our enemies. O Lord, verse 12, thou hast ordained them for judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. He said, I know how you work, God. And I see what you're doing. Now, this is how you get perspective on things. I see what you're doing. You're using this to discipline your people. I might just finish right here, but I want you to understand something. I would love, before God calls me home or before Jesus comes again, I would love to just, for God to rend the heavens and just allow His presence and His power to swing low and rest among His church one more time. Amen. I'd love that. I can't say it's going to happen, but I'm not going to stand here and say it can't or it won't. All right? But I want you to notice what he says here in verse number 12. He said, God, he said, I'm asking you. I know that you have established them for correction. God, I know what you can do. And I know what you're doing. I trust you. I trust you to do the right thing. He said in verse number 13, thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that dealest treacherously and holdest thy tongue. God, you've been silent. And I want you to speak up. And I want you to tell me what I can expect. Now I'll close right here. All right? What is happening here? Before I read the final verse in Habakkuk, turn to 2 Chronicles just for a moment. And I want you, as you're finding 2 Chronicles 36, I want you to think about this with me, okay? Can I tell you that God has blessed America, I believe, more than any country in recent history? You're talking about a blessed place, brethren. We live in a blessed land. And that word, that phrase is really used a lot, but I don't think we could use it enough talking about what God has done for this country. But just like Judah, God said, as you find 2 Chronicles chapter 36, God said, it's time. I have spoke to you and spoke to you and spoke to you. I have sent plagues, I have sent natural disasters, I have sent prophets, I have warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you, and you wouldn't heed. I'm not turning back. You're going to have to face this judgment. Now I want to tell you something, brethren. This is not pleasant, but it is so. I'm afraid that we have this warped view of God that He will not require His word to be carried out, or we will pay the consequences. Somehow we've gotten fixed in our minds, well, you know what? God's just going to sweep it under the rug, and He's just going to show us His grace, and all will be well. We'll sin, we'll confess it, and go on with our life. Can I tell you, there's always a price for sin. Sin has its consequences. I'm glad God forgives sin. But sin has its consequences. And God prophesied. Look at it. Look in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 36. Are you there? Look at verse number 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and all the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which He had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up. Now look at this. Betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. In other words, God sent and God warned and God sent and God warned and God sent and God warned and God sent and God warned, just like America. You know what these folks did? Let's read on. The scripture says in verse number 16, and they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused his prophet until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. God said, I'm not turning back. I'm raising up the Chaldeans. They're coming to get you, and you're going into captivity. Okay? You listening? This is serious. Our country is in dire straits. I don't know what God has in store for America. I know that America has mocked God. We have kicked God out of everything holy and sacred. We have mocked God's word. We have trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus as a country. Amen. Listen to me, brethren. Our country has changed. You'll never find a person more patriotic than me. I'm not saying you can't be as patriotic as me. Our country has changed. Are you listening? These young folks right here, they're not going to grow up in the America that we grew up in. Not in case God shows us mercy one more time. This is serious stuff. This is not a pep rally. This is serious. We need to get a burden. We need to get on our face before God and say, God, have mercy on us. God, forgive us. We've sinned against you. He said, verse 16, you've mocked my messengers. You despised my word. You've misused my men. He said, now the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Not the heathen now. Not the heathen. His people. All right? And God said, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. Habakkuk, you're not going to change my mind. It's not going to happen. Verse number 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword of the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age, and he gave them all into his hand. Now I'm not going to read the rest for sake of time. Go back to Habakkuk and I'll read a verse and we'll close. What's being said? God said, you know, don't think this was my first move here. I sinned and warned. I sinned and warned. You heard preaching. This man just stood up here and said, we're trying to get a radio station. You know, we want to preach on the radio station. You can go about anywhere in America and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I mean, there was a time when there were Bible preaching churches on every corner in most of America. And I realize there's some areas. In most of America. I mean, there were evangelists that were blazing a trail. And we began to sin against the ocean of light. And we took God for granted. We took his house for granted. I think that the pandemic kind of showed us that a little bit, don't you? You with me? Boy, we missed gathering here. And we began to take God and his word and some things as a body for granted. And now we're faced with what we're faced with today. What are we going to do? Well, preacher, there's nothing we can do. Don't you listen to that lie. That's a lie of the devil. This is what Habakkuk said he was going to do. This was the first step. We'll pick up here next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. But I want you to see the first step, and this is the way I want you to spend your week, if you will. Would you? Look what he said. I will stand upon my watch. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Habakkuk, he's accepting some responsibility. I'm going to do something, right? You know what a lot of people would have done if they would have heard what God said he was going to do? They'd quit. I'm raising up the Chaldeans. They're coming to get you. And they're taking you away. That's it, I quit. God doesn't love me. God's not just. That's not what Habakkuk said. It's not. I hope that's not what you say. It's too much, preacher. We can never have revival. God can never change America. God can never change a church. God can never change my family member. Don't you believe that lie? That's a lie of the devil. God can do anything he chooses to do. That's why he's God and we're not. Don't you tell God what he can do and can't do. Habakkuk said, I will stand my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see. You know what a man who stood the watch did, don't you? He warned people of impending danger. He got up on the watch tower, the wall, the watchman of the wall, and he would look across, and when he saw someone headed, he would have to sound the alarm that the enemy was coming. Why? Because if he didn't and the enemy invaded and there were people killed, then the blood would be on his hand. Read Ezekiel. The blood would be on that watchman. What is Ezekiel doing? What is Habakkuk doing here? He's accepting personal responsibility and accountability for his role in this matter. Will you? Will you? Well, we'll let the preacher do it. I'll let the next brother do it. I'll let another brother do it. No, you're saved. You join up. You help out. You get in the watchtower. You get in the secret place. Young person, you bow and pray. God hears your prayers too. Well, preacher, I'm just 8 years old. Can I tell you God's listening to your prayers? As a matter of fact, there's some 8-year-olds that I'd rather have praying for me than some 30-year-olds. Say amen. They can get through, brethren. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. He said, I am going to pray and I am going to expect God to hear and answer my prayer. I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep praying until he answers me. My, that's what every one of us need to do. Don't you let this situation, don't you let the current situation that's going on in 2020 keep you from following what God wants you to do and keeping focus on what God's plan for the church is in this day and age in which we live. The devil wants us to quit, brethren. The devil wants us to fold up shop. He wants us to lay our armor down. He wants us to lay our sword down. He wants us to give up the fight. But there's some things that we must fight for. We must fight. Because there's some things worth fighting for. Stand your watch. I love my country. Amen. And if America goes down by the grace of God, she's going to go down with this preacher praying. Praying. I'm not giving up on my country. Don't you give up on your country. I'm not giving up on the church. I'm not giving up on what God wants to do in some people's lives. And don't you give up on it either. You say, well, preacher, I've been praying for him for years. Well, keep praying. God's not through. God's not through. All right? It's a burden in my heart. We've got to do something, brethren. This is a call to action. We must do something. You say, but preacher, in the grand scheme of things, we're just a small group of people. Well, Jesus turned the world upside down with 12 of them. Do I have to remind you what motley crew that was? Amen. And here we are today because of their preaching. They believed. They carried out the work of God, and here we are. Here we are. Don't ever underestimate what God can do with a little. I don't want to go back through those miracles now. Didn't take much. Put in the hands of Jesus, and look what he did with it. Little as much when God is in it. So don't you think, well, we're just a little country church on the side of the road down here in Madison. What can we do? Well, we've touched quite a few countries down here on the side of the road. Amen? Be amazed what God can do with a little when you give it to him. All right? So I want to encourage you. I understand as we stand to our feet. These are troubling times. I understand that 2020 has been, it's been rough. This COVID-19, the virus, the fear, and all the things that have changed in our country, in our world. And now there's cities being burnt to the ground, companies being put out of business, not by COVID, by looters, plunderers. People losing everything they've worked for all their life. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. God, would you do something? I believe he will. I know he will because God is a God of activity. And I think you and I get to play a role in what he's going to do. You'll never convince me that God wants us to pray and it's not going to change anything. You say, well, now, preacher, I believe God's going to do what he wants to do. You need to read Exodus 32 when God was going to kill the children of Israel. Moses interceded, and he didn't do it. Okay, there's situation after situation through the Scripture when God was going to do something, and he didn't do it because there were some people praying. Don't you let the devil tell you your prayers don't count now. See, I believe that's why a lot of people give up. Well, God's going to do what he's going to do. It doesn't matter what I do. That's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
Don't you let the devil deceive you. You get a hold of heaven. You grab hold of the horns of the altar, and don't you let go until God answers you. That's what Habakkuk said he's going to do. Would you bow your head with me? Thank you for your attention tonight. You've been attentive. And I'm going to ask the pianist to play. And I wonder, would God challenge you? Not the preacher. It's not the preacher's intent to challenge you. Did God challenge you? Did the Spirit of God stir in your heart and challenge you? Did he?